Good morning, Patriots. Oh, yeah. Total honesty here. That was straight up eyelid malfunction this morning. It also helps when you set your alarm if you don't shut the ringer off. Not sure exactly how it's supposed to work. The alarm goes on and it rings, but there's no ringer on. It doesn't work. So anyway, good morning, Patriots. We're good. We're here. It's Sunday morning. And here we are. And I'm not going to even complain the fact that I got an extra hour and a half of sleep. Nope, not even. Pretty good. It's all good. So public service announcements right off the top. We have right from the beginning, Bard's Fest, 26th to the 29th of August. The 26th to the 29th of August. And I have news for you. If you go on over there right now and you scroll down on that page, you are going to discover that we have a daily schedule set up. That's right. You can see who's going to be what each day. We're going to improve it a little bit. It's okay right now. It's but nonetheless, you can start getting an idea, and there's some blank spots in there that you'll see that they're going to fill out, but you're going to see that we've got all sorts of great things lined up each day at each location. So get on over there. And that's been like one of the leading complaints. It's like, oh, I can't make up my mind because I don't know who's going to be what where. All right, now you don't have an excuse. Go get your tickets. Get on over there. So that's it, Bard's Fest. Or you can go to bardsfest.com, or you can go to bardsfm.com/bardsfest, or you can go to bardsfm.com, and there's scroll down, and there's a little icon that says Bard's Fest. We made it super easy. We didn't make it difficult. Not difficult at all. And we even have a shofar page up now. That is pretty amazing. And that shofar page has all of the information about the shofar project. And we've got it all set up to where you can sign up. It's pretty amazing, I'm telling you. So get on over there. It's a lot of good stuff going on. Get your tickets, bardsfest.com. It's fantastic. We want to see you there on the 26th to the 29th of August. It's going to be the biggest revival in human history. At least that's what we're praying for. Public service announcement number two is MyPillow, who has now donated over $70,000 to Bard's Fest, and we want to support them as much as possible. One of America's greatest CEOs, one of America's greatest companies currently, just amazing company and CEO, and a CEO that openly puts Christ on his heart. This man stands up for God and country like nobody. So we have this very cool promo code, Bards, B-A-R-D-S. Pop on over there and use it. Take advantage of all the great sales. They've got a 6-towel set right now with American-grown cotton for $39.99. You scroll down mid-page and you'll see radio listeners box. You click there. That special is only for radio listeners. And that's us, because we qualify as radio listeners since we are a podcast. And that special was put up specifically by Mike Lindell for podcasters and radio shows. So it's a fantastic sale, $39.99 for 6 towels. But there's something even more important you must have for Bard's Fest. And that's a pair of my slippers. Because on the 27th, when Mike Lindell speaks, we are going to have the slipper revolution. So get on over there, get your slippers, your My Slippers, 40% off, and use the Bard's code, B-A-R-D-S, and that's at MyPillow.com. If you are one of those that suffers from lack of sleep, that is now considering getting psychiatric care or psychology time on the couch with a psychiatrist, I have some news for you. It's big. This is MyPillow has a number for you to call, 800-975-2939. Okay, this is their Patriot counseling number. And all you have to do is tell them that you're having trouble sleeping. Just tell them that I'm having trouble sleeping. I don't know what to do. Tell them Bard's code, but I have a code, a promo code, Bard's, B-A-R-D-S. And this is what they're going to tell you. They're going to say, that's okay, we got you covered. You need to get some pillows, some sheets, some comforters. You need to get a new mattress. You need to get some towels, and you need to get some My Slippers. And I'm telling you, if you just follow their recipe, It'll save you years of problems at a psychologist's office. And they'll comfort you with great product. You'll sleep like a baby. And you won't have to take any drugs. Matter of fact, I don't know what's in the Giza sheets, but I'm telling you right now, that'll knock you right out. And there you go. So you've got a, it's all in one. Just use the Bard's code. That's it. And you can solve two problems. Lack of sleep and save a whole ton of money on psychiatry bills. And at the same time, have a super comfortable bedroom. So there you go. That's it. MyPillow.com. Bard's promo code 800-975-2939 is the counseling number. Use the Bard's promo code there too. And of course, to remind you again, get your Bard's Fest tickets. That's it. Bard's Fest. Bard'sFest.com. I'm going to read the beginning here. The Isaiah 26, beginning with 26:7. The path of the righteous is level. You make level the way of the righteous. In the path of your judgments, O Lord, we wait for you. Your name and remembrance are the desire of our soul. My soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. If favor is shown to the wicked, he does not learn righteousness. In the land of the uprightness, he deals corruptly and does not see the majesty of the Lord. O Lord, your hand is lifted up, but they do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people and be ashamed. Let the fire of your adversaries consume them. O Lord, you will ordain peace for us, for you have indeed done for us all our works. O Lord, other lords besides you have ruled over us, but your name alone will bring to remembrance. They are dead, they will not live. They are shades that will not arise, and to the end you have visited them with destruction and wiped out all remembrance of them. But you have increased the nation, O Lord, you have increased the nation. You are glorified. You have enlarged all the borders of the land. The path of the righteous is level. I think that's one of the most, it's one of those statements that's just profound when you read it. There has been emotional ups and downs in this journey over the last 4 years. And we have all been challenged with the many things put before us. And obviously this injection nonsense has caused more rifts and problems than we could have ever imagined. There's a part of the population that actually feels that it itself is better than others, all because it took an injection. Now imagine that for a minute. Had it not been COVID and we called it the flu, could you imagine people dancing around saying, I have a flu shot, I have a flu shot? People have become so consumed in the, it's a religion of me. It's a consumption of me to the level that they are worshiping whatever makes them feel good. They are not worshiping their relationship to God. And yet it is us that hold God dear in our heart. Build our relationship through Christ to the Father that we understand very clearly, even though there are trials and tests as there have been, in the end, our path is level. We live in this world, but we are not of this world. Our mission is in this world, but we are not of this world. And so that creates a very constant and persistent walk for us all. But that passage is also a reminder that even when God is raising his hand to show them mercy, those that have walked away from God still cannot see or hear. And to say these things at this point in time, for many, it's almost, they'll find this comical. We've all run into it. This idea that somehow, their perspective, you all think that God's going to save you. And I think that's right where the whole conversation is wrong from the beginning. No, we don't think God will save us. God already has. We're trying to save you. And if we can remember those words there, we have an upper hand in every one of those conversations. God already saved us through the sacrifice of his son. We are not trying to be saved. We are not waiting for God to save us. What we are trying to do is execute the mission to save the many that have walked away from him. Our Lord, your hand is lifted up, but they do not see it. 26:11, Isaiah 26:11. And no, they don't. They do not see what the Lord has given them. They do not see that they were given life in all things around them. Instead, they have seen a world where they have bought into this lie that the world was not created by God. It was created by some miraculous random event in the universe where some primordial soup allowed a bunch of fish to walk out with legs, hit the ground running, and suddenly evolve into being a very perfect and sophisticated creature called the human. And yet they don't see that that has any purpose other than a random event. Sadly, as they walk, if that's what they believe, that is also how they will die. As insignificant as they see the world of creation of human beings, as insignificant their life will be, and they will perish, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Our role is to awaken the many. God has us here as intended to walk this path and to keep walking as his children, to continue to wake as many as possible. A path does not offer an easy path, nor does it offer the many rewards or pleasures that this other world that they live in does. Right now, this other world is a world of satisfaction of the me. It's the satiating of the desires of flesh. It's the consumption of the material goods of possession. It's the perception of wealth through the limits of credit card spending. Consider that for a minute. This is an amazing one. God is unlimited in what he offers. There is no debt. There is just unlimited giving. And what begins as a stewardship of a little becomes a stewardship of a lot. But we have to steward what God gives us, and it's stewarding it within the realm that God intends us to give. But this other world is a world that says similar things, in fact. It mocks God. It says, if you can manage your money well, we'll raise your credit limit to $1,000. And once you do that for a little while, they say, you've been a good obedient servant, now we'll raise your credit limit to $2,500. And then they'll say, and you've been a good obedient servant, now we're going to raise your credit limit to $10,000. And each time you're a good obedient servant in the system, they're going to increase your debt limit. But notice I said debt limit. It's not about stewardship. It's the inversion of God. It's the place where constantly we are being offered different levels of debt to enslave ourselves to them. Because nothing is given by them without a cost. That first cost is what? Interest. 18%, 24%. Once in a while, you hear something miraculous like, oh, you got a special deal. You're going to get an 8% card. It's still interest. It's still debt. You're still paying back something that they gave you. God never offers you something and says to you, you're going to have to repay this with interest. That's not the way God works. We're given, and God gives without limit. As long as we can steward, he'll give us more. And all of that centers on our faith and our trust and our belief in him. Those that are obsessed with credit cards and making money off of credit cards, be careful. You're walking in the trap of the devil. There is no worship of money in God's world. There is only the worship of him. And money itself is part of that Babylonian trick. It's the worship, it becomes consumed by us. And as we try to play the game and try to find the ways to make more of it through the games that they set up, we're walking deeper into the maze of traps that they themselves set. There's a huge difference between a person who, and this is true right here. I mean, this is a question you have to ask yourself, because when we're walking in those worlds and playing those games, are we being a Babylonian proclaiming ourselves to be a Christian, or are we truly walking as a disciple of Christ? Money is itself an obsession, and it's a trap, and it's one of the biggest narcotics ever created. For some, it's even deeper than that, because if you study Babylonians' methods and the Babylonian money magic, which Christ also fought back against, it's not just the money. It's the spells and curses they put around it, because it comes very real. It takes on a life form of its own. Ask yourself this. It's quite interesting. If you think that what I just said is false, how is it that the world will rush to the dollar, put their money into investments in dollars, and the dollar itself is nothing more than a paper currency? It has no financial backing. It has no backing to it. In fact, it's so overinflated, there's nothing else out there. And yet the dollar remains the strongest currency in the world. It's all centered on one thing. It's a belief system. People use the dollar, rely on the dollar, build the wealth in their dollars because of a belief system. And that belief system continues to auger down to where every single thing we touch and use it for is part of our belief system if we're not careful. And we've talked about this at length before. I won't get into it today and do much more than to say, when you place prayer and worship before every single purchase, so that you are doing everything measured in the terms of God, all money does is just become a vehicle to help improve the pathway that God wants you to be on. But when money itself becomes the worship, God will always take a second seat, and it will always be a costly choice. And therein lies the power of Babylonian money magic. But it's also part of the whole world we're in right now, this complete me culture. This me culture is wrapped around what is best, not for the world, what is best, not for any sort of God. Their God is the choice of what will give me the relief that I need or the benefits that I seek. So when you live that way, you are making a choice of the wide gate, the easy path, that path to destruction that walks us down into the abyss, ultimately. God's world and God's walk is an amazing walk. It's a selfless walk. We know this. But it's everything, not just one thing. It's everything we do. It's every approach we take. Money is one of those things that's, back to that, is one of those things that's very consuming in the world, because money is that fine line at times between feeling like we're in a home and we're not, feeling like we have a car and we don't, feeling like we have food and we won't. problem is with a lot of these pathways that we walk, once you get onto that wide gate path, it's not like you can just jump off it and suddenly like, okay, God, I made my choice. I'm going to walk with you, jump over here, let all that go and go the other direction. Meaning that you don't just suddenly see changes in your life instantaneously. There's a pathway back that you have to travel. And that can be a pretty rough walk. The question is, do you trust in him? When we obsess about the money that controls our lives and we obsess about the and we worry about where money is in our lives and we're not putting him first, we're going farther and farther down that path. And if we're going to make the change back, we're going to have to literally shed what was to embrace what is. Part of that is the process of repentance, and that's what repentance does, is it cleans us from the past. It rebuilds us through the body of Christ. And while that is a profound moment in the spiritual, the translation into the physical world can be a bit rough, if not painful. And so we arrive at a point where the belief system of money, as you look around the world right now, the belief system of money is shaky because they're about ready to reset it. And they're exploiting every last inch and breath of the system they have to accumulate as much possible wealth that they can possibly do before they pull the plug, reset everything, reset their debts, and put more debt on the people. If you're worrying about money now, you'll worry 10 times more in 3 months from now. The only way out of this is to put God first on all things. And in that process, that also means more giving. That means more entrusting more of what God wants us to do with every dollar. Because money is just a mechanism. It's not a worship. And when we let that mechanism obsess with us internally, we are separating ourselves from the true faith and belief within the Lord. I hear it all the time. We need money to fight this war. And I say, yes. We need resources to fight this war. I wouldn't use the term money. We need money. The question is, what are we doing with those dollars? And how do we use them and steward them for other things that are great for God's kingdom? And when we limit ourselves to say that I need money, for example, we've also limited the channels in which God will give. That's why we need resources to fight this fight. We all need resources to live. So what is it that God will provide and how will he provide it? I have no idea. But I just know that when we put our trust in him and we don't limit the means and mechanisms which he can deliver wealth in whatever form, there is an unlimited way amount of wealth that we'll receive as we steward well what he gives. And that path, again, isn't instantaneous. There are some rocky walks between here and there. And part of that walk are two things. One is that we have to place our faith within him, and two, and it's not a matter of sitting on the side and raising up our hands and saying, Lord, pour down the manna upon me. Faith needs wheels. That means our efforts have to be using our gifts and talents in this world and relentlessly pushing in that place to expand God's kingdom as we put forward. And the two things happen pretty much at once, or I should say simultaneously. What we think we need diminishes, and what we do need and God gives increases. It's amazing. The gifts increase as our needs decline. It's a rather profound walk. This is a time right now when these sorts of deep reflections and considerations and changes in our path or adjustments to our path must be made. And as I've said many times, I'm not one to paint the picture or make the predictions of end of times prophecy. I don't like walking there because it doesn't affect our path. We still need to be dutiful to the Lord and our walk in Christ. But there are big movements happening on a global scale. We can all see that. So it's kind of like saying, well, someday I hope to have a garden when you have empty space in the back of your yard. Someday I'll get to the garden. Someday would be a good time now. Don't put off what you can do today for tomorrow. So many of these changes that we make need to be done today, tomorrow, and the next day, not next week, no procrastination. Time is too short. And in that sense alone, it's a profound place to be because we don't know. We have no idea how long our life is here. Wouldn't it be sad to see an end of life occur for whatever reason, out of our control, and then to have to give as our testimony to the Lord, well, I'm sorry, I was really obsessed with money, but I was intending to change that this week and really wanted to get some other things going in my life next week. They were part of my plans, but I ran out of time. Can you imagine saying that to God? What else would you say? I ran out of time. Like, how long a time did you think you had? More? God says, yeah, but that wasn't in your plan. It wasn't in my plan for you. Tell me what you did with the rest of the time I gave you. How did you steward it? How did you steward that time? See, there's your peace. What is, one hand, we have, this does crack me up in a dark way. I'm building up a great 401k. I'm like, okay. Someone else says, I've got all this money and it's going to be all I'm going to need for the rest of my life. I'm accumulating this because this is what I'm going to need for retirement. And I have to build this up to a certain point. It's like, okay. So then you want to watch something go crazy. First of all, ask some questions like, so what are you going to do if you get disabled? I'm going to have to get more money in there. Okay. You know, it's just this self-perpetuating cycle. And what happens then if you die before you get to use that 401k? I'm just curious. And that's usually not a consideration. It's more like, well, that's not going to happen. I don't like to think that way. Well, for all the love of the 401k and for all the love of accumulation, imagine what a world would be like if we put all the love into each other and all the love into helping one another, into all the love of protecting the innocent that had no voice. What if we put forward as God intended that we give rather than take? What would your accumulation look like then? I can tell you, it will be unlimited. You will not have worries of what will come. That's the hardest part about where we live these days. Is that people cannot see how in giving they get more because it's they look for. And the thing is that back up on that, because even when God, when we do this, what's most profound about that is as we give, every single time we give, God's like, here, I got you. I've told these stories and I'm openly confessing that I used to be a total doubter on this thing, on the idea of giving. Man, when you give from your heart, I've seen it happen so many times in my life. The last few years, I just shake my head every time and go, wow, God, thanks for reminding me. You get something put on your heart to say, like, this person needs some help. And so you give to them. Or you just give to them because it's of your heart, right? And like 4 days later, 5 days later, sometimes a week later, or more, you know, something like that. Let's just use money because it's a mechanism, because that's the easiest way to help some people sometimes. But then it comes back in spades, right? It's like, wow, I can't believe I just got that deal. I can't believe that just happened to me. And all that money that you gave is back. God just continually replenishes. I talked to somebody the other day who's a huge supporter of a lot of the Patriots, and they made the comment. They said, you know, I gave, it was an inordinate amount of money this last year that they gave to support Patriots, something like over $100,000. And she said, I can see how much I gave. And she said, I look at my account and it's as if I gave nothing at all. She said, I don't know how God did this, but it literally, she said, and she's good with books. She says, it's like everything goes out and there's more money coming in. That's the power of giving and the way God's world works. And I've told this story. It's like you go into your garden, for example, do something that's not material money, and you give from your garden, and I will guarantee you more will grow in your garden. It's just the way life works. God wove this world to be a world based on giving, not a world based on taking. Our Lord, your hand is lifted up, but they do not see it. That phrase again. That's 26:11, Isaiah 26:11. And there it is. Follow me. Give. And walk that path of the righteous, and the Lord shall give back in so many spades that you won't even know what happened. So in this path that we're walking right now, we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to have our eyes open to. And the most amazing part of this is the profound existence that we have in a process of trusting in Him and giving through Him. But we have to let go of the formation of giving. When I say that, sitting in the church pew and putting a few dollars into the church's offering plate every Sunday. If you love your church, good. But ask yourself always, are you giving for Him, or are you giving for the obligation of the church, for example? Our motives and how we give are so critical, and listening to Him in prayer and all that we do is so critical. God does not want us to be poor. He doesn't want us to live helplessly in the world. But as we accept our station in the world and we grow with that and we accept that and truly accept Him in our path there, it's interesting too that no matter where you live, our world transforms into being the right place for us. It's pretty profound. Life is really in the end not that difficult. It's just that the rules are pretty simple. The execution is complex. And it's complex because we're surrounded by a world of counter-thinking. Everything around us, again, is the inversion. We live and obsess for our credit card levels. We live and obsess for getting a new mortgage. We live and obsess for getting a new car, for being able to get a loan. These are all status symbols of success. We live and obsess with the idea of a credit rating, all statuses of success. You ask somebody about their life and how successful they are, and I guarantee you those are going to be on the top of the list. I'm doing great. My credit card score is 750. We can get money anytime we need it because I have all sorts of leverage through loans. We have a beautiful house and a good mortgage on the house we're paying down. It's going to sound natural. It's going to sound normal. How many people do you run into and you say, how is your life? And they say, my life is very successful. Thank you. Every single day I give X number of dollars. Every single day I give this much from my garden. Every single day I spend time talking to the Lord to other people. And every single day I see the power of the Lord transforming people. My life is very successful. And I have no worries about anything I have because whatever God's given me, I steward, and whatever I need, God provides. Isn't that an amazing world right there? That's God's world. So that's God's world right there. Not the world of And by the way, when we compare the two, they may or may not align, just so I say, meaning that person walking with the Lord may have a great credit score. They may have no credit score because it doesn't matter. It will only matter if God needs it to matter. That's the key piece. God's like, okay, I got to give you a great credit score. Just keep walking. It'll happen. So it's a beautiful walk that we make. And this is the, I want to close with these ideas that this is this walk that we make is the light on the hill for others to see. Many will shirk away and tell you're crazy. Babylonians usually do. Because their obsession and worship of money and things is beyond measure. But the one thing that is certain right now as this world turns and turns and faces this new reality is there's going to be some pretty heavy blows coming in the near future. These blows are going to challenge us in health and our relationships and our family. There's no avoiding what's coming because they've already decided to put that substance, that kill weapon in their body. Our path has to be level. The path of the righteous is level. You make level the way of the righteous. Isaiah 26:7. That's a path that's steady. It's not an up and down path. It's not a path getting wrapped up in fear porn or in hopium. It's a path that's level. We know very constantly and steadily every single day that we've already won this war because Christ was sacrificed for our sins. And in the process of us accepting Christ in our heart, we have been given the pathway back to God through Christ to the Father. So it's very profound, and it's very leveling, and it's very humbling, and it's a path that unless we choose to be rocked from it, we cannot be rocked from it, because there can be no fear in our world when we walk that way. And the only question we have to ask ourselves is, how can I walk in that path more deeply, more closely with God, to receive the rewards and benefits that only that path can provide? And those rewards and benefits have nothing to do with your checkbook balance, your 401k, your monthly bills. They have to do with things so great and beyond our understanding that all we know is they fulfill our spirit and grow us in a way that only God can guide and appreciate. But above all, as we walk in that path, we do become the light on the hill because nothing rocks us and people look to us and seek us out. Because that path, which is profound in itself, is the path of hope and fulfillment of emptiness that exists within the many that wander. Don't underestimate your station in life, patriots. We are all in a very profound place and time. God put us here for a reason. This is a time to keep our head up, to keep walking forward. This is a time truly to keep that light glowing. Because even in the darkest of days, and there can be many, and there may be many more, that light is not about us. It's what glows within us. And it's about showing them, the many that are wandering, that there is something greater than the matrix in which they live. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for this blessed Sunday as we reflect deeply on our relationship with you, our relationship to the material world in which we live in, and keeping clear our lanes of walk as we go forward to walk not in this world, but to do our mission in this world because we are not of this world. To hold Christ very boldly in our heart, to find that way of living as you would intend us to live, to love our neighbor as we would want to be loved, to help those in need, to protect the innocent, to walk without fear, to walk with absolute faith and love for you above all things, to accept our place as walking in the body of Christ, and understanding that that walk demands of us as he did, we must do. Accepting that we may, as was done by our Savior and King, we may also be persecuted or sacrificed in the ways that society does, but that in that path that we walk, that is not a path to worry about, but a path to embrace with glory and joy, for it is serving you, O Lord, as we humble ourselves before you. And Lord, we pray to heal this land, to let us be the disciples of Christ, to walk boldly here without hesitation, and to bring the many back to you. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. All right, Patriots. Hope you have a very blessed Sunday. Tonight, Expedition Cafe, which will be Bard's Fest again. All the Expedition Cafes from here until Bard's Fest are about Bard's Fest. Isn't that amazing? Remember, we've got the schedule up on bardsfest.com or bardsfm.com. The schedule is up. Just go to Bard's Fest right there, and you're going to see the schedule. You can even have a little drop-down menu. It gives you the schedule. It's pretty amazing. Daily event schedule. Get on over there. It's fantastic. So, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. This is an amazing time to be alive. Prayer is our foundation, and prayer is what we do every day to build our connection, not only with God, but our awareness and connection with one another, even though we may not see it. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And as we know, God will always win. So that's in itself just such a wonderful place to walk. So let's smile and embrace this world. Take some time today. Step outside. Look up. Look past the chemtrails, because they're probably there. And when you do that, just thank God for the glorious place that we are in. You're like, oh, look, God, they put chemtrails in the way of us again. Don't worry about it. God's like, yeah, whatever. I know. They're a bunch of idiots. You're like, thanks. If you're living in Southern Oregon or Northern California, you're probably going to look up and go, oh, look at that. Antifa's burning forests down again. Lord, have mercy. Anyway, celebrate the day. Spend some time with God. Invite him to breakfast. It's probably a pretty good chat you'll have. Have a blessed day, Patriots. I'll see you tonight. Until then or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
Sweet.